Good morning. This is KBBI AM 890 Homer and KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. Welcome to the Coffee Table. This morning on Coffee Table, we'll be talking about tourism on the Kenai Peninsula. And I'm pleased to welcome my guest this morning, Jim Lavrakis, the Executive Director of the Homer Chamber of Commerce. We also have Shannon Hamrick, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council, or KPTMC, and Michelle Glaves, Executive Director of the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tourism is a big topic right now, especially with this bed tax. And we're going to get to the proposed bed tax a little bit later in the show. But first of all, I kind of wanted to just get a general idea of what tourism means to the Kenai Peninsula. So Shannon, I'd like to send the first question to you. How are we doing with tourism this year compared to about 4 or 5 years ago? There was the economic downturn, which seemed to cause a bit of a drop off in tourism here in Alaska. So how are we doing now?
It sure did. With the recession, we were hit hard in tourism in Alaska, where other industries were kind of sheltered from the recession here. Tourism, with our visitors coming from out of state, really dropped off. And we made a prediction in 2010 that it would take until 2013 to recover. And that has held true. And it looks like this is going to be a record year.
All right. And how has the nature of tourism changed in these past few years? What kinds of things did you have to do to help bring it back up again?
You know, we've really focused a lot on getting the word out that the Kenai Peninsula is open for so many things besides fishing. So fishing is incredibly important, but ecotourism, adventure tourism, family travel has become bigger and bigger trends. And we're just reaching out to those people and letting them know that the Kenai Peninsula is the best place in Alaska to experience those things.
So, Michelle, going over to you, on the Central Peninsula, what kinds of things are people coming to the Central Peninsula to do?
First, before I talk about that, I just wanted to add to what Shannon just said about in 2008 with the economic downturn, one of the changes that was made in a huge part was corporate travel. A lot of people relied on corporate travel and large groups, and a lot of businesses had to kind of refocus their energies to gear more towards private family travel and small group family travel. So the big corporate groups is what really hurt a lot of businesses. So they kind of had to refocus on that.
And going on that line, I'm curious, did taking away some of those big corporate groups, does that continue to affect the economy up there?
In my opinion, it does. The people that I have talked to, yes. Some of the small groups are coming back, but kind of in a different way. It's not big corporate groups coming every year that you can bank on that's going to happen. So a lot more strategic planning is going on and just kind of broad-based marketing and getting a lot of different groups involved.
It seems like a lot more uncertainty. You don't have those dependable clients each year.
Exactly. There's some lodges that would, in the past, in the early 2000s, would cater to corporate groups, and they had one large corporate group after another. And when in 2008, that pretty much came to a standstill, and they had to really review how they were doing business and not try to target those big corporate groups because they just weren't there.
Jim, did you happen to have any of those big corporate groups down here in Homer? Was that something that you would get a lot of in this area?
Well, I know of a couple of operations down here, lodging and tour operations who had those kinds of groups, and they just disappeared. And so, just like Michelle said, those companies had to refocus, come up with a new, if not an entirely new business plan, at least a different approach to pulling in smaller groups or groups that that they hadn't thought of before. So yeah, it did have effect down here.
Now, something that each of you has spoken to is this that they'd had to change their approach to actually cater to different types of groups. Jim, I'd like to know, in the Homer area, what kinds of things did they do to change that focus? Where are they redirecting it?
Well, I think there's a general trend these days in Alaska, tourists coming to Alaska who are really interested in learning about the environment here, lifestyle, and the natural beauty, animals here. So the focus is more active insertion of people into the wilderness and into situations where they can see these things. Bear viewing is a great example of how things have turned away from fishing and hunting to a more contemplative look at just the natural beauty of Alaska. So many companies are including those kinds of tours as part of their offering. And I'm in particular, bed and breakfast lodging operations here in Homer are telling me that that fishing is not as big that there's been a change in what people want to go and do. There's still fishing, but it's the increase in bear viewing, for example, has been dramatic.
Has it been similar up on the Central Peninsula, Michelle?
It has, and with that change in 2008 and people changing their marketing strategies, it is more about getting your marketing message to travel operators and even travel agents. A lot of foreigners still use travel agents, and getting that message out to them. ATIA on a statewide level has done studies every year and talked about why the reasons people come to Alaska. And the three top reasons have stayed the same for many, many years, and that's mountains, glaciers, and wildlife. And on the Kenai Peninsula, we have all that, but we have kind of short-selled ourselves for years previous to that, in that we are a fishing destination and people came here to fish, but we are so much more than that. So I think that we have got the word out that we are so much more than just come here, go fishing, take it and go. Like Jim said, we have the bear viewing, we have adventure, eco travel, and it's just so much more. And we have the mountains, glaciers, and wildlife. People want to experience what we just take for granted every day that we live in. And they want to experience that and see it. They want to see a moose, the things that we take for granted when we're driving to work.
How do you think that's affected small business owners on the peninsula? Because I imagine it's also asking them to expand their own business ventures. They're no longer, as Jim said, just a bed and breakfast. They become a bed and breakfast and a tour operator, or you'll have somebody who perhaps is a water taxi but also partners with a float plane to take people out. How do you think that's expanded what they have to do to stay in business?
I think that a lot of people are working together. The partnerships and the collaborations between a lot of small businesses, you know, the different events they have where they can get together and talk to each other. You see them all communicating so much more, and it's not a competition thing. It's everybody helping everybody else out and knowing that the visitor experience is the number one priority.
Jim, I'd like to turn this next question to you. There was something else that I think affected tourism on the peninsula, especially perhaps down here where halibut fishing is very large. NOAA's catch-sharing plan went into effect over the winter, meaning a one-fish rule for halibut charters. How do you think that has affected the tourism industry on the Southern Peninsula?
Well, I can speak to what's gone on here with our charter operators in Homer, and they're telling me, I mean, as of just 10 minutes ago, that it's been devastating, that this is catch sharing, that's a misnomer, there's no sharing going on there. the change in allocation and the specific rule change that's really, really hurting us here is the rule that says charter operators can only go out once a day. They can't, so that means no more half day charters here. I just spoke to one operator who said they had to turn away 580 people this month. So that's pretty devastating. And we're hearing at the chamber people coming in and say, we can't find a halibut charter. We cannot get on a boat. What's going on here? Why can't you find us a boat? Everything's all booked up. And so we're having frustrated visitors, and we're certainly having frustrated operators. And this rule came kind of out of the blue. I mean, it was a blindsiding move that was not clear in the original discussion of what this catch sharing plan was going to be. The rule was published, and there it was. It's no more half-day charters. So part of the other effect that's going on here is we've seen a very slow start to our halibut derby ticket sales. And although things have picked up and it looks good now, there's still kind of a drag effect going on where we're just not getting as many tickets sold as we had last year at the same time. So that's a really kind of scary, unknown situation that's going on right now with the effects of the catch share plan.
I know that halibut fishing isn't quite so large up there on the Central Peninsula, but Shannon or Michelle, have either of you heard about this as well?
Yeah, definitely. We have, just as Michelle was saying, how all of our businesses work closely together. A lot of our fishing businesses here in the central area work closely with charter businesses in Homer. And when they can't find a boat to put their clients on, it affects everybody the same way it is there in Homer here on the central area.
From your perspective, what do you think could be done to help compensate for this?
You know, I keep going back to diversification of product. I don't know that we can affect NOAA's decisions. This has been a fight that's been ongoing for years and years, but we do have businesses who are starting to diversify. We have a halibut charter out of Homer that's actually started doing halibut bear viewing combos. That's an example of what a creative businessman can do to kind of make up for this shift that we're seeing. We have a guide here in the central area who started offering gold panning excursions in addition to the fishing. So it's just really being creative and offering our visitors that real experiential travel experience that we can offer so well here on the Kenai.
And listeners, we'd like to invite you to come and join the conversation here if you've been affected by the by NOAA's catch sharing plan, or if you've seen a general downturn. Give us a call. It's a local number in Homer at 235-7721. You can also call toll-free 1-800-979-5524. Now, Jim, back to you. What are your opinions about moving forward from this, assuming that this isn't going to go away anytime soon? What do you think that businesses need to do?
Well, I agree with Shannon, of course. When we were talking earlier about companies, operators working together, I mean, that's where chambers come in. That's where KPTMC comes in. We're the networking source and a place for businesses to kind of work together to come up with cooperative efforts. The chamber has our business after hour get together. We have our luncheons. The Kenai and Soldotna have even more luncheons and get togethers than we do. So there's opportunity there for business people to come and discuss their issues together and work together to come up with solutions.
So what I'm hearing is that, especially in terms of diversifying and different businesses coming together, that the actual act of fishing perhaps is becoming less of a percentage of tourism here on the peninsula. Would you say that that's kind of how it's going?
Well, I think
I'll jump in here.
This is hard. Thanks, Michelle.
I don't think it's becoming less. I think that we are just marketing in a different way, that's not just the only thing that we have here on the Kenai Peninsula. I think the numbers of tourists coming back here are not necessarily just fishing. And a large majority of people were coming for just fishing prior to 08. And I think that the shift has been that we are attracting a different traveler. We are not just fishing anymore.
How would you describe that traveler that you're now attracting? What do they look like? What's the profile of a typical Alaska visitor to the peninsula, or a typical visitor to the peninsula?
Well, your average visitor to Alaska is around 52 years old. Most before didn't have children in the home anymore, although we are seeing more and more family travel and generational travel. So grandparents, parents, and children are traveling together. We have a very affluent traveler here coming from out of state and nationally. They average around $90,000 income annually. We do, of course, we are Alaska's playground. We have a large percentage of Alaskan visitors as well, and that's our Anchorage visitors that are coming down. And where we can take advantage of them is to target them for our shoulder seasons, spring and fall, and help really fill out this season. We all know that we're pretty busy in July already, but there's a lot of opportunity there. So we want to keep targeting that 52-year-old affluent household that their dream has been to come to Alaska their entire lives.
And I do know that there are a lot of in-state visitors, a lot of Alaskans that do come down here to the peninsula for a variety of reasons. And as you said, it is a larger season that they actually come. They come in the shoulder season, then they also come during prime time, June, July, August. I'm wondering how the sort of changing trends in terms of this diversification, going for mountains, glaciers, wildlife, also bear viewing, things like that. Does that affect the Alaskan visitor? Because I would imagine that someone coming from Anchorage doesn't have that same desire, perhaps, to see those mountains, those glaciers, those bears, if they can see them in their own backyard.
This is Michelle. Contrary to that, when it comes to not necessarily just going and seeing the wildlife that we take it, for granted and see every day, but we're seeing a lot more of the in-state person is wanting to do hikes in different places, hikes and canoeing and kayaking and bear viewing. I mean, you can live here all of your life, but to go out and fly across and see the bears in their natural habitat and know that they're, you're not encroaching on their area, but you get to see them, is something that you don't see in Anchorage. And there is a large population of them that do the bear viewing and the kayaking across the inlet, and so many of that adventure travel is Alaskans, and we can capitalize on that and do that in the shoulder seasons and not in July.
I'd like to follow up on that really quickly. I can't agree more with Michelle. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and in the past few years, I've had some experiences going over to Chinitna Bay bear viewing. Just last weekend, I was in Homer, and we did a girls getaway, and we took kayaks out to Kayak Beach and stayed the weekend. And these kinds of things are just really the experience of a lifetime, even for me, when I've lived here my entire life. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity to bring Alaskans down to experience those types of things.
And I would agree with that, too. The Kachemak Bay is the jewel of the Kenai Peninsula. I'm going to claim that right now. And I think I'll have agreement. Across the bay, we have a wonderful, we've got the only designated state wilderness park, the Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park. And there's great hiking campgrounds and cabins there, kayak operations, and you know, getaways, they're Alaskans, if they have never experienced what's gone on, what goes on, or what you can do over on the other side of the bay, they're missing out on a lot. And that's kind of a, I think that's that whole concept and idea is kind of rippling through Anchorage. And, you know, my job here at the chamber is to get people down here and then present what they have, what we have to offer across the bay. I mean, yeah.
If I can get on that as well, this is Michelle. In the Anchorage Great Alaska Sportsman Show, that is in the end of March, we all go there, we all have booths. And when you talk to Alaskans, because it's in March, there's not very many visitors in March in Anchorage, it's all Alaskans. And our booths are always full. There is always people standing at our booths going, oh, the Kenai Peninsula. You know, if I could find a job there, I would live there. You guys live in a dream world. It is so beautiful there. I mean, they dream about coming to the Kenai Peninsula. We are their playground, and they do want to experience it in all these different ways. So they are a huge target for us to show them what all they can do here.
And listeners, we would love to hear from you. It's a local call, 235-7721 in Homer, toll-free at 1-800-979-5524. We'd love to hear from you if you travel around the Kenai Peninsula. If you live here, travel around, tell us what you're looking for in a destination. And we're actually going to go now to line one in our caller. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hey. I'm just calling. I'm a mom from Homer, and I just wanted to clarify about the half-day charters, that they actually are running half-day charters. A lot of the old boats and charters that did that before still are doing it, but they can only do one a day. So it's cut down a bit on business, but just wanted to clarify that. And then some of the boats are doing pollock trip instead of halibut, which I know that we kind of are a little picky about our whitefish here, but it's really fun for kids, and I just wanted to clarify that and throw that out there.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Yeah, there are a couple of the bigger boat operators who, because they can only go out once a day, and you're right, they're half-day charters. They also offer a short trip up the bay to catch Alaskan pollock, and that is that's marketed as a, you know, put your lines down, start catching fish, and catch fish until your arms drop off. There's constant action, great for families, and you're right. Thanks for reminding me.
Jim, I would like to put the next question to you as well. I'm curious about the Kachemak Bay Water Trail that just opened this year, and that affects both sides of Kachemak Bay. It runs all the way around the bay from Homer up near some of the Russian villages and then back down again over towards Seldovia. And so Seldovia and Homer are the two, the bookends of the water trail. How do you think that will affect that type of ecotourism on the Southern Peninsula?
Well, it's all part of a you know, greater concept that that we're working on at the chamber, and we just started discussions of how to change our tagline to something more like Homer, your destination for recreation. We are still the halibut fishing capital of the world. We like to think we're the ecotourism capital of Alaska. But I think we can combine those things with the concept that you come here to recreate.
Shannon, in your job, working with marketing, how do you go about changing the tagline of an area or of a community?
Well, we actually undertook that very challenge in 2007, and we actually hired a company to help us with our branding. And it was a very extensive project. We did a lot of research on our visitors, our residents, and we we identified ourselves as being Alaska's playground through that process, but it wasn't just about the tagline. It was about how we're selling ourselves in our imagery and the wording that we use to describe the experience that people have on the Kenai Peninsula. So they helped us identify that our visitors were looking for that up close and personal Alaska experience. And then we took that and ran with it and helped people. Well, the wording that we use is that on the Kenai Peninsula, you're going to get wet, you're going to get dirty, you're going to leave feeling like you've experienced Alaska rather than just seeing it from the deck of a cruise ship. So it was an extensive project for us, and we actually invested quite a bit of money in it. But I think it can be done by just really, if the Homer Chamber wants to undertake something like that without investing a large amount of money, just by talking to visitors, talking to residents, and really getting to the meat of what makes Homer different and better than other areas of Alaska, because really we're all kind of selling ourselves the same way, and you have to identify what makes you unique and then run with that so that people have a reason to choose your destination.
Michelle, this makes me think of you and your area, the Kenai River, and especially the insanity of the fisheries in the summertime on the Kenai River and the tributaries in the Kasilof. That is something that is unique to the Kenai Peninsula. How do you use that to your advantage?
You know, in marketing, probably 10 years ago, in marketing, it was very huge. And we tout ourselves, Soldotna, our little tagline is Alaska's Kenai River City. And the Kenai River does run through Soldotna, so I'm not sure that we'll necessarily change that tagline. But fishing and the Kenai River is not necessarily our number one selling feature anymore. Just like the diversification of everybody else with the King Run, those guides have diversified as well. 10 years ago, you wouldn't think of a guide taking someone out sockeye fishing, and yet they're all doing it. The ones that are left and there to make it work, that's what they're doing. And they're also doing, you know, booking the flyouts and booking the bear viewing and everything else. The Kenai River is very important and very vital. But for a lot of these people that come, the adventure seekers, there's more kayaking on the river and there's different things on the river. That using that waterway and not necessarily taking fish from it is included in that. The dip net fishery in Kenai is a whole nother story.
All right. Tell us part of that story.
I don't know where to start on that story. You know, Kenai and Soldotna are only 10 miles apart, so what affects one totally affects another. But the city of Kenai has both probably enjoyed and angered by and frustrated by some of that happening. You know, the city of Kenai is doing the best they can to keep that fishery kind of controlled and managed. But when you get the population of Anchorage coming down to a very, very small beach trying to catch fish, it looks like insanity, and it's almost becoming a tourist attraction to stand up on the top of the bluff and watch it.
And we are actually going to take a quick break now. It is our halfway point. And when we return, I'd like to continue on that thought about how much tourism is too much. Is there too much? And with that, we will go to our bed tax when we return from this break. Thanks so much for tuning in. You're tuned to The Coffee Table on KBBI AM 890 Homer and KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is KBBI AM 890 Homer, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. You're tuned to The Coffee Table. And this morning on Coffee Table, we're talking tourism on the Kenai Peninsula, Alaska's playground. We have Jim Lavrakis, Executive Director of the Homer Chamber of Commerce, Shannon Hamrick, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council, and Michelle Glaves, Executive Director of the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to all of you. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to turn next to the proposed bed tax. This is the talk of the town on the Kenai Peninsula. It's taken a lot of time in our recent assembly meetings. Last night's there was about 2 hours of public comment followed by about 1 hour of assembly discussion on this topic, and it wasn't the first time it had come up in the assembly, and it will not be the last time that it's coming up. People are very vocal about this bed tax. So first of all, let's talk about some of the changes from last night. Shannon, what were you hearing at last night's meeting? I know you were there. Could you kind of just give people a general idea of what was going on last night?
Sure. And what was proposed in Ordinance 2014-25 was originally a 4% bed tax, and all the monies collected in the cities would be returned to the cities. 25% would be used for school funding, and 75% of the money collected in the unincorporated areas would be returned to borough marketing for tourism. What we had at the first public meeting was a change to take out the 25% that would be directed towards schools from the unincorporated areas. And what we saw last night was a discussion about whether or not the 4% was excessive for the needs of tourism marketing to make the Kenai Peninsula competitive with other areas in Alaska. So the amount was amended to 3% from 4%, and that's what we have before us right now. The total amount with a 3% would be $1.6 million. If you take out Seward, because Seward will be able to opt out of the bed tax because they already have a 4%, that brings the total down to $1.3 million. Monies collected within the cities would still be returned to the cities. That would leave right around $800,000 for borough marketing, which would make the Kenai Peninsula competitive with other areas like the Mat-Su Valley, Juneau, Ketchikan. And then the amount that would be returned to the cities is still pretty considerable. Homer would be in line to receive around $264,000.
And Shannon, let's talk about Seward. Since Seward already has a bed tax, how has that influenced its economy and its tourism?
Well, we've taken a really close look at the numbers in Seward to see if we believed that the bed tax hurt Seward in any way. It's been in place for about 10 years, and we wanted to look at that and see if it would be a good model for the rest of the Kenai. And what we discovered was that during the time that they've had a bed tax in place, their accommodations income has actually increased 218%, while inflation has only grown 45%. So Seward feels like their bed tax has been very successful, and they're happy with the results.
Now, in terms of this, now it's been moved to a 3% bed tax. Supporters are saying that it will be good, it will draw more people to the peninsula. And one of the arguments that I've been hearing, including at last night's assembly meeting from people who are opposed to the bed tax, is perhaps we've had our fill of tourism. There was one person that spoke about roads being taxed, waterways being taxed already. So Shannon, I turn that to you. Is there such a thing as too much tourism?
Well, I definitely think that the huge influx that we see in July is actually a visitor that's coming down from Anchorage. And it can be very frustrating. We've got about 2 weeks of the year that nobody can make a left turn, that we're seeing our beaches taxed, we're seeing almost too much pressure on our infrastructure. The problem is that that's only 2 weeks out of the year, and we have like a 6 month span that we could be really filling up these beds and filling up these tour operators with experiential travelers. And we need to be targeting them. So we're not necessarily targeting as we've already spoken about, the people who want to come down here from Anchorage and fish, we want to get people here in August and September. And people won't feel that huge impact like we see in July when we're getting those really affluent visitors from nationally and international travelers here. It's just going to be a nice influx of income to our area, not a huge population boom.
Listeners, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 235-7721 in Homer, 1-800-979-5524 is our toll-free number. Jim, I'd like to go to you next. So Homer already has a 7.5% sales tax, and that's 4.5% Homer City and 3% Kenai Peninsula Borough tax. So with this proposed bed tax on top of that, that'll be a chunk of change out of tourists' pockets. Have you been hearing anything about people worrying that there's not going to be so much money going toward small businesses here?
Well, I can tell you that our board, after we had a public forum here on June 26th, our board deliberated and wrote a letter opposing the bed tax for the main reason being that we believe that the accommodations sector is already taxed too much, and another tax is an extra weight that their clients didn't need and their businesses didn't need.
All right. And at last night's meeting, I remember that was something that was talked about it's a very divisive issue right now. There's a lot of people split on both sides. And one of the things that people have been saying is that, yes, it's more taxing on the B&B operators, people like that. Shannon, I'd like to turn this question to you. I'm wondering, one of the options that came up last night, or one of the ideas that came up, was instead of a bed tax, having a broad-based tourism tax that affected a number of different industries. Can you kind of talk about the differences between those two?
Sure. In 2005, the Kenai Peninsula explored a bed tax, and it actually went to a vote of the people, and it was voted down. I'll tell you the differences between then and now. At that time, 75% was going to go to general government, where now all of the money is supposed to go to support tourism. But as KPTMC's board continued to move forward after the 2005 vote, we were exploring other options, and one that we looked into very hard, we actually spent about 2 years working on it, was the idea of a 1% tourism tax that would be directed towards not only accommodations, but also guided services and even restaurants. And it would have raised a considerable amount of money. It was gaining some support with people in the industry because they felt like it was a more fair solution that didn't just target accommodations. Now, on the flip side of that, we have the per seat per day tax on guided services, and a 1% on top of what's already being collected from guided services would have actually been a really considerable hit to them. And the reason that I'm saying that is when a family comes and stays in a room, they are taxed on that night, but they're only taxed once. When that same family goes out in a guided fishing trip, each member of that family is taxed. So taxing on a 1% for all tourism product actually was hitting a lot more people. We still were trying to move forward with it and explore it with the administration and with the borough assembly, and we just couldn't get support from the administration. They were not supportive of it, and they told us to go back to the drawing board. So that's when we came back and started having more community meetings and talking and trying to figure out what our next solution would be that we looked at. And that's when we came back to the bed tax.
Now, Anchorage has a 12% bed tax, and it's split that one third goes to the municipality of Anchorage's general fund, one third to service the bond debt and ops of the convention centers, and then another third to support marketing functions of Visit Anchorage, which is their big tourism campaign. Are there perhaps better ways to split this tax? Can Shannon talk a little bit about sort of the direction that this money is going? Because that was definitely something that got a lot of comment last night.
You know, I don't believe that we should be looking at splitting this tax up. When we were looking at a 4% and possibly 25% of that going towards economic development, I think that that would have been a reasonable solution to look at, because tourism is economic development is tourism. It would have been a good partnership. But where we're at now is $775,000 coming in from the unincorporated areas. And what we have been saying all along is that the Kenai Peninsula is not competitive with other areas of Alaska. When you look at the Mat-Su Valley, they're spending $850,000 to $900,000 marketing. Ketchikan, Juneau are both around $1 million. Fairbanks is at $3 million. So we were being left behind in the marketing arena. And when we wanted to look at a solution, we needed to find a solution that would make us competitive and to fix this problem.
And listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Toll-free 1-800-979-5524 or a local call in Homer at 235-7721. What are your thoughts on the bed tax? Shannon and Michelle, I'd like to ask both of you, since Michelle, you are currently the president of KPTMC. Shannon, you are the executive director. Where is this money going to be going? I know that people know it's going toward marketing, but that's kind of an amorphous idea. Where is it going to be going? What will it be spent on?
This is Michelle. I'll start, and then Shannon can finish, since she runs the operations day to day. But this campaign, when we have $3,000, let me start over. KPTMC is totally self-sustainable. We make our own money. KPTMC is the organization, makes their own money and their funds to run operations. And the borough contracts with them basically with the $300,000, what it's been for the past 20?
Well, different amounts, but for the past 6 years, we've received $300,000.
Okay. So in 6 years, $300,000 to market on behalf of the Kenai Peninsula Borough to market the borough. With that being said, that money has been the same or in different amounts, really close to that for a long, long time. We all know that the price of everything has gone up in the last 20 years. And so we have fallen behind. KPTMC has fallen behind. When there is those tour operators and travel agent market outside of the United States that want to come to Alaska, but we are so big, they don't know where to start. They all use tour operators. So when you can talk to some of these tour operators at these conventions and have meetings with them and discuss the Kenai Peninsula and everything that it has, Shannon and her staff have put together a good foundation of where that money could be used. When the conversation started, when Bill Smith introduced this, and KPTMC as a board had to decide whether we were going to get behind this or not. He had at the time a 25% for schools in there. We didn't necessarily like that. It kind of muddies the waters when you are collecting a collection point is the hoteliers and the bed and breakfasts, that all of that money we felt should go back into the industry to help the industry. We did speak to some of the assembly members about that. It did get removed. I don't believe that most of the assembly members necessarily like that schools piece in there, and it did just kind of muddy the waters. There was a couple other options that were floated around last night. There was a couple of possible amendments to, like Shannon said, add in economic development in there to take up that 25%. And then there was another one to have 25% go back to general government. Both of those were not even discussed. So as it stands at the 3%, 100% of that coming back to the industry is something that Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council Board has said that they would support. And like I said, Shannon and her staff have come back through. They've done a whole sheet on where that money could best be used. And just to go down it, do you want to discuss
that? Sure, I'll jump in. One of the most effective ways to work with national and international wholesalers and media is really to visit them where they live. And the Alaska Travel Industry Association and the state of Alaska have a really comprehensive marketing program that's supported by $16 million that comes in from the state. And we are able to leverage marketing dollars by working with them. But what's happening right now is we aren't coming to the table because we don't have enough of a budget to be able to participate in some of, in most of the things that they're doing. So things like the United States Tour Operator Association, the American Bus Association, Travel Leaders National Forum, these are all conventions that are happening that the rest of Alaska is at selling their product, and we're not there. On international sales missions, there is a list of 8 that are currently being attended by most destinations in Alaska, and we're not at the table. There's international websites that we could be joining in on and advertising on. Certainly we can have an improved online presence and driving more traffic to our website to sell the Kenai. And then rounding out those shoulder seasons, we can look at some more in-state campaigns. Again, not for the middle of summer, but you know, in the spring and fall, when we have opportunity to fill up bids here. So we do have a marketing plan that's just been sketched out, but if KPTMC were to be chosen to continue being the marketing organization for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, this would be a plan that was put together by a volunteer board of directors and staff working together, and we would invite the entire industry to come to the table to help formulate a plan that would best utilize this new money to drive new visitation to the Kenai.
Visitors and listeners, both of you, if you are visiting the Kenai Peninsula, or if you have traveled around Kenai Peninsula, taken advantage of things like hotel rooms, motel rooms, B&Bs, what are your thoughts on the bed tax? Give us a call. 1-800-979-5524 is our number, toll free. You can also call us locally in Homer at 235-7721. Shannon, I'm curious, what is your response to the concern that the more money visitors put out up front to this bed tax, and additionally to things like sales tax, the more money they put out up front is the less money they have in their pockets to spend on things like local arts, like going to restaurants. What is your response to that?
We've done a lot of research to see how bed tax affects visitation to an area, and we just have not been able to find anything that shows that a bed tax has negatively impacted visitation or spending. Research. That's what we did leading up to this, and there is just nothing out there that shows that a bed tax of this amount is going to have a negative impact, and if it's invested correctly, it will have a positive impact.
And certainly hearing some of the feedback from people on the Seward side of the peninsula, there did seem to be positive feedback about the bed tax that they have had for a while. Now, we are going to go to the phones. We have a caller on line one. Thank you so much, John, for calling.
Yes, hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, this is John Hopkins. Are we on the air here?
Yes, we are.
Oh, well, good. I'm sitting down here just right up by the Stursky Creek, and I have a studio here. But I also come in from out of state periodically, and I've been a teacher in the local area and so on. I'm very, very interested in this bed tax. I think it's a great idea with being able to advertise quite a bit more. I don't mind that at all as a local artist. My work is show in Homer. I have a show coming up here August 1st. But basically, I think we really need to look at ways of advertising more, getting people coming into this area, even more so internationally and nationally. I'm kind of a national level artist. I have commissions down in Texas. I also work in Minnesota and Wisconsin, as well as Alaska here. And so with looking at the local beauty, particularly one thing that hasn't even been brought up in the discussion is the local light, the high latitude light that we have here, and the alpenglow with the on the Chugach Mountains right down there by Kashmak Bay. These are things that I think that are of national and international consequence. As you come up here and start looking at off the view here on the Stursky Creek campground, I was out there with this clear air, and I could see the four volcanoes all the way across. I could see from Douglas all the way on up through up to Redoubt there. And it was, this is something that's absolutely unique in this world. Also, as a teacher, a science teacher in the past out in Bush, Alaska, this is a great place for just people to come in and do volcano watching, looking. The Aleutian Trench, the mountains, the whole idea of the Pacific Rim of Fire, you can see it all.
Absolutely.
In this area.
Absolutely. It is a very beautiful area, and it's a very unique landscape. So thank you so much, John. And I think that brings us back to that discussion we had been at earlier with ecotourism. Is that something that you'll be focusing on in terms of this marketing?
You know, there are a lot of really niche markets that we can market to on the Kenai Peninsula. One of the really great ways that we do that is by attending an event called Media Roadshow. And that's where we go have one-on-one interviews with travel media. We go to the travel media. So we go to California and we have 2 days of appointments and we sell them on story ideas and convince them to come to our area and write stories specific to different niches. And I love the idea of selling an artist writer and a travel writer who would be targeting like an artist community on the light, or having an article written on the Pacific Rim of Fire. These are all things that we can focus in on by really utilizing the tools that the Alaska Travel Industry Association has put together for us to reach out and really effectively leverage this money.
Michelle, on the Central Peninsula, where do you see tourism going in the next 10 years?
If I knew that. You know, 10 years ago, who would have thought the dipnet fishery would be what it is? Who would have thought that the king salmon wouldn't be returning and there would be guides out doing reds? Who would have thought that we would be limiting half-day halibut charters to one trip a day? Who would have thought we'd have restrictions on halibut? So I don't even know if I can touch that question in 10 years. That's a tough one. All we can do is take it year by year and roll with exactly what we have to deal with today and sell what we have today.
And Jim, going over to you, this is an interesting area on the lower Kenai Peninsula. You have here in Homer, you also have across the bay. Do you see certain areas expanding in the coming years?
Yeah, I think that there's opportunity to have more destinations on the other side of the bay. If we can improve the economy through better marketing and getting people down here and higher sales tax, better tax base, we can get people to invest in lodging on the other side of the bay and just get them over there. It's a really unique area. I wanted to mention that in my limited marketing budget, the two trade shows that I'm going to, that we've gone to and will go, is the Sportsman Show in Anchorage and the Media Roadshow in Santa Barbara. It just seems like you should take advantage of an opportunity to talk with writers and travel professionals. And so that's the one trade show I'm going to this year.
Yes, and there are so many different ways for people to experience the Kenai Peninsula. There are a lot of artists. There is that Alpenglow. There are some very unique things that you can only really find here. And even just driving the length of the highway up and down the peninsula and going over to the other side near Seward, there are so many different things that you just see going up and down, and so many different ecosystems as you travel around. Shannon, we just have a few minutes left. In terms of your job, What would you like to see expand?
I would really like to see a larger influx of our international travelers. They spend more money, they spend more time, and they'll really help balance out that that huge influx that we see in July. And they tend to travel later in the season as well. German-speaking Europe, a lot of their vacation time is taken in August. So I would really love to see us targeting that international market.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today on Coffee Table. That was Jim Lavrakis, Executive Director of the Homer Chamber of Commerce, Shannon Hanrick, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council, and Michelle Glaves, Executive Director of the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to all of you for being here today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And I wanted to send a big thank you out to Shaylin Cochran and our engineer, Terry Renzel. Thanks for making Coffee Table possible. You're listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. It's 10 o'clock.